I opened my Bible, I opened to the beginning of Hebrews, and there's just says at the top, I don't know if I've ever seen this, it just says, time to decide. And I just felt this was, even as Luna was praying here, it's just a time to decide in our lives. Are we all in? Under the old covenant, and before Christ came and died, there was a commandment that said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus, in John 13, right before he goes to the cross, he changes things up a bit, and he goes, hey, a new command I give you, that you would love as I have loved you. And I think at the time they didn't quite know what that meant, but what it means, it was a whole nother level of love, because it required death. It required a full sacrifice of his life. And he said, now this is the command I give you, that you love as I have loved. And in 1 John it says, Jesus loved us, and this is love, that he laid down his life for one another, for each other. Love took on a whole new level as Jesus defined the love of the Father. 1 John 4 talks about it. It says, God is love, and it says, this is love. God would send his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The love that he requires of us is a sacrificial love to lay down our lives, to the point where there's no longer the ability to have offenses. There's no longer the ability to justify our actions because we deserve something. He says, no, you actually have to lay it all down. You have to die. And Marcus was in this. In Colossians 3, it just says this. It says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You died. We were in this on Tuesday, Galatians 2. Says this, 19 says, for through the law I died, can't read here, sorry, I died to the law so that I might live for God, for I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Sometimes we read those words and I just feel like, I don't know that we actually take hold of it, but I feel like it's a time to decide in a greater way. Are we ready to surrender our lives for the lives of others? As Christ has loved us, would we love others with that love, which puts down all of our needs, all the things that we desire, all of the preferences that we have, to say, no, I'm going to put others in front of me, before me. It's not an easy way to live because it requires death. I'm going to just read this part again. It says, for I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. How does Christ live in me? When I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me, and he gave himself for me. Lord, I thank you for your love. It's only by this love that we have life, but that life is in you, and it requires that we actually die to ourselves. that we are crucified with you so that you would live in us. Lord, I know it's hard for us even to comprehend, hard for us to understand. Romans 12 says that we would be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is we're no longer of ourselves. We're no longer living for ourselves. That's the position, he says, that's holy and it's pleasing to me. It's a spiritual act of worship. And in that place, it goes on to say, as we renew our minds in the death of ourselves, becoming alive to him through the Holy Spirit, that it becomes that place where now we can test and approve God's good, pleasing, and his perfect will. Now we can learn how to walk in his ways. Now we learn how to live our lives in that place of righteousness. Lord, we thank you. You say, be holy as I am holy. But bring us into that place of no longer of ourselves, but it is Christ living in us. It is the Holy Spirit empowering us to live a life that when we try to live in and of ourselves our own way, the Holy Spirit isn't actually living in us. But Lord, may we be led by your Spirit. The very Spirit of Christ living in us that reveals all truth, gives us all understanding, takes us beyond ourselves and into the very plans and the purposes that God has for us. Lord, awaken us as we die to ourselves. We thank you for new life, which comes in the place of death. So, Lord, we just, tonight, we surrender our lives to you. We're talking about the fire, the burning, that sacrifice. Lord, burn off all of the things that are of us. Have it all. That scripture in 1 Corinthians where it talks about love. I'd encourage you, go back and just review all the scriptures about the love of Christ, and it goes beyond anything that we can actually do in and of ourselves. It requires death so that we can live in this love that Christ has for us to live. But that 1 Corinthians 13 just says this: love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking. It's not easily offended or angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. No record of wrongs. When you're dead to yourself, there's no record of wrong. Because there's nothing you can't be offended. There's nothing against you. It's not about you. It's about Christ living in you. And if he'll die on the cross for you, then how can we be offended at someone else? How can we hold offense or unforgiveness against someone else? If Christ, the one who died on the cross, is in us, we cannot hold offense. It's not about us. It's all about Christ. Lord, would you live in us? Tonight, I just ask, Lord, this would be a day where we make a determination that we are no longer going to live for ourselves. In a greater way, we're going to become that living sacrifice. That you would live in us, that you would be the strength in our lives. Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you first loved us. So that because of that love, we can actually love others with that same love. Without your love, we could never love in that way. That the world did not understand this love until you came and revealed the Father's love. So that we can love in the same way. So that we, through Christ, can reveal the Father's love. So Jesus, we bless you. We love you. As we're talking about this love, as we're singing about this love, I was like, oh, it's a... Yeah, we love him. And we want his love in our hearts. But it comes through death. It comes through complete surrender. That's the place of receiving his love and then loving as he loved us. Thank you, Jesus. So we're just going to go into prayer. I know that's kind of heavy. Die. Good way to start the prayer meeting. But let's just pray. I'm going to hand it off to Marcus here to start, and then we'll just go from here.
Luke 9, verse 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life," and the idea is, who would save his life in this age, "he will lose it in the age to come. But whoever would lose his life for my sake in this age, he will save it in the age to come." John chapter 12. Jesus says, "Truly, truly," this is verse 24, "I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loses his life," and the idea again is, whoever loses his life in this world, or whoever loves his life in this world, loses it in the world to come. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Lord, we just return to these statements of discipleship. Lord, would you give us the strength to die to our flesh? Would you give us the strength to die to the ways of the world? Would you give us the strength to lose our life for your sake and for the gospel's sake? Lord, would you fill us with the knowledge of your will? As we die to ourselves, fill us with what you want, with what you desire. We are your servants in the earth. We are those who are coming to you to follow you. So we sign up again, Lord. We say, "Not our wills, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done." We take up the cup of our Savior that he took up in the garden. And we say, "Not our will, but yours be done." We will not pursue our kingdom. We will pursue your kingdom. We will not pursue the desires of our flesh. We will put on Christ. We will put on light. We will become children of the day because this is who we really are. Sons and daughters of the coming resurrection. Lord, we live for that day now. We live for your honor now. We live for your glory now. Lord, we say, just like that song said, we want to be tried by fire today. Clean my hands, purify my heart, because we want to burn for you, God. We want to love you. We want to serve you. We want to love others as you loved them. We want to lay down our lives. We want to go to the lowest place. God, we just ask you, give us strength. And I pray for moments of divine wisdom. When we want to step outside of that, when we want to stir, when we want to serve ourselves, when we want to resurrect our flesh, Lord, moments of divine, eternal clarity where you just check us and you say, "Don't do that. Stay in my will. Stay on the narrow path. Stay on the narrow road. Lord, we pray for that divine conviction. Convict us of sin. Convict us of the righteousness we are to walk in. Convict us that we will stand before the Lord and give an account for every idle word spoken, for everything done in the flesh, whether good or bad. God, we want to be well-pleasing to you. So help us to die daily. Help us to take up our cross daily and run hard after you. We want to follow the example of Paul, the example of Peter, the example of James. We want to follow the example of Christ. In Jesus' name, we just pray, release this grace.
The Lord wanted me to read this scripture. Wisdom that's worth waiting for. So listen, my sons and daughters, to everything I tell you. For nothing will bring you more joy than following my ways. Listen to my counsel, for my instruction will enlighten you. You will be wise not to ignore it. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for every day, joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I'll say. For the fountain of life pours into every time you find me. And this is the secret of growing in the delight and the favor of the Lord.
The Rock Church, I love every single one of you guys. I have been praying for the last 8 months over my life. This man right here is a hero. Mike, I know you're giving all the glory to God. Tracy, likewise. Dan, you too. A lot of my brothers and sisters here are mighty, mighty men and women. I respect you all highly. I honor you. I would like to thank the Rock Church for just being an anchor. When I analyze the Rock Church, it just points to the glory of God. He is the rock. He is the bedrock. He's the one that we can rely on, the one we can trust. The one who comforts us, the one who guides us, the one that alarms us when something's off that isn't visible in the physical world. We have divine wisdom living inside of us, divine strength, resurrection power living inside of us. We have the very creator of this very universe living inside of us, dwelling amongst us. The world may say that this or that's too far gone, or that person's unredeemable, right? Why are we going to come into agreement with the world? Who's the God of this world, ladies and gentlemen? Who's the God of this world? It's Satan. Why are we going to come into agreement with doctors that are okay with killing children? Why are we gonna come into agreement with them? You think they have your best interest at heart? You think they care about you? You think if you call them at 2 a.m. in the middle of the night because you don't know what you're gonna do with your life? You think they're gonna be there for you? No, their operating hours are done. 8 o'clock. Find someone else. Call the police. But you know what? You know what? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God in everything. Right? Pastor Mike is a man that has helped me set my eyes on Jesus. Tracy is a man that has repeated until his tongue became calloused. John, set your eyes on Christ. His word cannot lie. You are a son. You are a son.
Here are the truths that need to be spoken over you. Here are the lies you're believing. Let's reveal the lies, ladies and gentlemen. Let's reveal the lies that people around us are believing. Let's reveal them. And you know what's beautiful? It's the love of God that brings people to redemption. If you look at the Bible, it's a story. It's a story about redemption. It's a story about man or woman turning back to God. It is a story about Jesus saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." It's a story of mercy and love and grace. And God, I just declare right now that you reveal, heal, and seal any areas within any of my members, my brothers and sisters. Reveal it, Lord. You say in your word that you're going to reveal anything in the dark. Lord, give us the humility and courage to come forth. Anything in the dark, Lord. Anything. It will be found out. You will not hide. God sees it. You will take account for it. But thank God. Thank God, because we're here to love you through it. We're here to support you through it. You're never too far gone. I love you guys. In Jesus' name, amen.
So there's one thing I want to read and pray, but Corey Russell reminded me, receive the love of God every day. Jesus, I let you love me just as I am. I let you love me. And the other thing I'm praying, and Father, I pray this for all of us, Holy Spirit, would you show us Christ and Him crucified, who He is and what the crucifixion is. Would you reveal the revelation of Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead? Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. We need revelation knowledge of this. We need it in the depths of our being that we would never be deceived. And I pray Ephesians 3. And I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods our innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, that the resting place of your love will become the source and the root of our life. It's from your love that we love. It's from experiencing and knowing and understanding and comprehending your love that we love. We need your love. We need to experience it. We need to understand it. We need to know it. Would you pour it in, Holy Spirit? Pour the love of Abba in our hearts. Would you pour it in like a river, that it could flow out of us like a river to everyone we meet? In Jesus' name.
Grace to turn our hearts, our gaze back to the author and perfecter of faith. We pray for grace to turn our hearts, our gaze back to the author and perfecter of faith. We pray for to turn our hearts, our gaze back to the author and perfecter of faith. We pray for grace to turn our hearts, our gaze back to the author and perfecter of faith. We pray for grace.
Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So God, I just thank You, Lord, that You haven't asked us to do anything that You haven't already done. You died first for us, God, that we would die to ourselves, to give our life of sin and life of living with the world, and we would exchange it for a holy and righteous life with You, Lord. And God, I just thank You that the day that I was delivered, Lord, I walked into a church and no one touched me, no one prayed for me, but Your presence was so strong, I just knew to hit my knees and ask for Your forgiveness. So God, I just pray that the Rock would host this glory, the presence of God, that when addicts would walk into a church, they would be the yoke would be broken immediately, God. We just thank You. Alcoholism, drug addiction, promiscuity, whatever it is, anxiety, depression, God, that we would host the presence of God so sweet, Lord, that no one would even have to know what they're going through, but they walk in and they encounter the Lord, the presence of God that breaks the yoke, Lord. And God, I thank You that You've been preparing us to disciple these that are coming in, Lord, that the fish are coming into the boat, God. We just thank You, Lord. We pray that You would help us be refined, that we might be ready and able and willing to be mamas and papas in the Lord to these disciples that are coming in by the droves, Lord. Compel them from the highways and the byways to come in, Lord, to feel welcome, God. Just prepare us, Lord, for this type of glory, to host Your glory, God. The fear of the Lord, that it would be in this place so strong, God, just as strong as the love of God. We just thank You for this, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.
Father God, I'd like to just thank You. I'd like to just thank You for everything You've done, for always being so grateful, so forgiving, just almighty, Father God. I'd like to thank You for giving me the strength to stand up against evil, Father God, for remaining a beacon in my life, in all of our lives, for reminding us that You never give up. Father God, I'd like for You to strengthen each and every one of us in the times that evil tries to deceive us and make us believe that we should turn from You when things go wrong. Father God, with You, everything is possible. Through the hard times and through the good, I'd like to thank You for everything, for allowing us to wake up yet another day on Your beautiful earth and giving us another chance to praise You, Father God. Grow our strength in You, grow our belief in You, Father God. Make the path walked with You glow bright, Father God. Fill all the dark voids in our life, Father God, from inside and out. Allow there to be no space for darkness to hide, Father God, for it tries to find a way in, but it is powerless against You, Lord. So thank You for everything that You've done and will continue to do. For You've made the greatest sacrifice for each and every one of us, Father God. And it is our duty to follow in Your ways. In Your your name. Amen.
God, you tell us, be thou holy, for I am holy. And you say, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, God. I cry out for your mercy, God. I cry out for your mercy, God. Would you wrought holiness in us, God? Cry out to you, God, for mercy. Mercy, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's more. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Yeah, that the evil one would find no place in us. That the wicked one would find no place in us. That we would hate what is evil and we would cling to what is good. We would hate it. We wouldn't just tolerate it. We wouldn't flirt with it. We would hate what is evil and cling to what is good. God, you say if you don't master your sin will master you. So, God, they're harsh words, but it's because you love us, God. It's because you love us and we're your children, God. So we thank you that you're the good father and the good shepherd, God. And you want holiness. You desire holiness and perfection. You're the perfect God. Be thou perfect, for I am perfect. Be thou holy, for I am holy. So God, would you speak to us by your Holy Spirit? Would we welcome the conviction of your Holy Spirit to search us and try us? To see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Will we confess our sin? Will we not think about it? Will we not just tolerate it? Would we hate it? Hate what is evil? God, we thank you. Increase that barometer in our heart and in our spirit for what is evil and what is good, God. A revelation, an understanding, a discernment, yeah, to really know what's evil and what is good. Give us discernment in these last days, God. We need it. We cry out to you, Father. We cry out to you to change our hearts. Change our hearts and purify our hearts to serve you in truth. A pure heart, that's what we long for. Purify our hearts, God. We thank you for your plans and purposes here at the Rock. We declare and decree they shall come to pass. We thank you, Father, for God, for your raising us up. You're taking us down and making us low. You're inviting us into humility, and then you will raise us up. You say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, in due time, I will lift you up. So God, we humble ourselves now before the King, before the Holy One of Israel. We humble ourselves now. We behold you in your beauty and in your glory, God. And we thank you for what you're going to do in us and through us. It's all for your glory. We thank you for the altar. This is your altar. This is your altar. This room, the Rock, this 55 acres, it's an altar unto the Lord. An altar for you, God, for your glory, for your presence, God, for you to be manifest in your glory and in your beauty, God. And we say we want it all. We say we trust you, God, for it all. Trust you, God, for it all. In Jesus' name.
Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. And then Proverbs 8, which was just spoken into, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights along the way where the paths meet? She takes her stand beside the gates leading into the city. And then Psalm 24, that has been impressed on the hearts of our leadership, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. So Lord, just fling wide the heavenly gates, that the Lord, the King of glory may come in, fling wide the heavenly gates. Lord, we want to walk through the gates. Lord, we ask that you would fling wide gates in hearts that need to be open, Lord, that are sealed shut right now. Lord, we just ask for the gates to be flung wide open in hearts of those that have walked away. Any areas of woundedness where gates have been shut, Lord, would you come and bring your healing and restoration, Lord, and fling wide those gates so that eyes can see, so that hearts can be open to you once again. Lord, we want to just see you enter in, Lord. We want to stand along the roadside and just usher you in, King of glory. As those gates are open, those streets of gold, Lord, we just want to bow down before you and just usher you in, King of glory. Enter in, fling wide those gates, fling them wide. We give you all glory in Jesus' name.
Who is this King? I want to know him. Mighty in battle, a strong tower. Who is this King? I want to know.
Feel your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
So I just went to Tennessee for one of my high school best friend's weddings. And I thought I was just going to have a little vacation and have fun at a wedding. But to my surprise, I was there to help set up an entire wedding with four other people, including the bride and the groom. And dang near broke my back putting super tiny, tight chair covers over 130 chairs. And just the tiniest of details, Lord, and the most beautiful cross where they stood to say their I do's. And you said all the details mattered. And it was a hard day of work, Lord, and you show me that the body of Christ is waiting to come to a wedding feast, thinking that they just need to show up. But there's work that needs to be done right now, Lord. Use us. Use us. Don't let us be idle. Don't let us be complacent, Lord. Use us. Get us out in the field. You used me in Tennessee. You used me so many different times, Lord. Thank you that I am your vessel, that we can empty ourselves to be your vessels. Lord, you allowed me to tell my testimony to an atheist. You allowed me to dance like David at a church that was so lukewarm and judgmental. But I softened it. You softened it, Lord, softening their hearts to see what worshiping you can look like, Lord. And even though my flight home was delayed, and even though my second flight home, I got there in time, but they said I wasn't even on it, Lord, I knew that you had something better in mind. And you put me on a flight next to a young man who grew up with you in his life, and now he's switched to the logical way of thinking. And you allowed me to softly tell my testimony to him, knowing that so many others on the plane were also listening on a two-hour flight. Lord, and he couldn't believe the miracles that you had done that were supernatural in my life. You stumped him so many different times that he kept asking more and more questions, and I just prompted him. It is not religion, it is a relationship with you, Lord. It is intimacy. It is into me I see, into me you see, Lord. Allow us to open up and be vulnerable, because when we landed, a man behind me tapped my shoulder and said, thank you for being so bold to share your testimony with him. Yeah. So I knew others were listening, Lord, and I pray that we can all be so bold, that we can all be so dead to ourselves, that you can truly use us everywhere we go, that you can use us at the grocery stores, you can use us, you can open up the gifts of the Spirit within us, that we can all operate in some sort of evangelism, Lord, to save lives, to save souls, to bring them back. Lord, set us ablaze so that we can reignite the fires of the lukewarms, Lord. Send us to those dry places. Pour your oil in, Lord. Refresh them and bring them a new revival, Lord. We thank you for all that you do in our lives, and that all things work for our good, Lord. We say these things in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Papa, we thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. As in Matthew 11, Jesus exclaimed, Father, thank you, for you are Lord, the supreme ruler over heaven and earth. And you have hidden the great revelation of your authority from those who are proud and think they are wise, and unveiled it instead to little children. Yes, Father, you've chosen this gracious plan to extend your kingdom. You have entrusted me with all that you are and all that you have. No one fully and intimately knows the Son except the Father, and no one fully and intimately knows the Father except the Son. But the Son is able to unveil the Father to anyone He chooses. And Papa, we just thank You that by Your Son You have chosen to be unveiled, God. That You have chosen to show us who You are in the image of Your Son. And that You have chosen us, just little children, the children of God, sons and daughters of God, to show us Your gracious plan, God. Your merciful, gracious, kind, loving plan, God. You are for us who are weary, God, I thank You that we needn't carry a heavy burden, because You say, come to Me. You said to many, follow Me. But here You say, come to Me. And we just thank You that we not only follow You, but we just come to You. And we come to You now, and we give You any heavy burdens. We give You any striving. We give You any works that are works of our own making. And we thank You that You are refreshing our lives in Your presence. You are our oasis. And we join our lives with You. Like a yoke, we join in Your yoke where You do the heavy lifting and we flow with You. God, teach us these ways. They're beyond our searching out. They're beyond our brains. They're beyond our ways. Our ways are not Your ways, God. We know how to rest and kind of give up and fall down, and we know how to work our tails off, but we don't know how to yoke with You, God, and to let You do the heavy lifting, but yet to be with You and to obey You and flow with You. Teach us Your ways, God. This union with Christ that is too wonderful for understanding, but yet You are revealing it to us, and it is part of what You've called Your bride to, Your end time church, is to yoke with You, to remain in You, to abide in You. Teach us this, Papa, that we would learn Your ways and discover that You are gentle, You are peaceful, You are humble, and You are so easy to please, God. I ask that for a revelation, even tonight, for Your sons and daughters here, God, that they would see how pleased You are with their efforts, their prayers, their love, their worship, God, that You are pleased, and that we would find refreshment and rest in Christ. So we come to You, Lord. Refresh us. Give us this cheerful refreshing, this joy of a humble heart. Thank You, Lord, that all You require is pleasant, it's kind, it's delightful, and easy to bear. It is not too much for us. Your way works. Your way works. So we abide. We choose to enter in. We choose to remain. And we trust You that You will teach us, for You are our life. There's nowhere else to go. You have the words of life, and You are life. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.
Say yes, Lord, we say yes. Not our will, but Yours be done. Lord, we say yes. Lord, we say yes. Not our will, but Yours be done. Lord, we say yes. Lord, we say yes. Not our will, but Yours be done. Lord, we say yes. Lord, I say yes. Not our will, but Yours be done. Lord, we say yes. Lord, we say yes. Not our will, but Yours be done. Lord, we say yes. Lord, we say yes. Not our will, but
Say yes to you. And in saying yes to you, we deny ourselves. Jesus says this, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Jesus did say that. John says that in 1 John. Whoever claims to live in Christ must walk as Jesus did. Lord, I thank you, just as Sharon was praying, that yoking. You can't yoke with Jesus and then walk your own direction. He takes over. He's the one that leads. And so if you stay yoked with him, you can't actually go your own direction. So, Lord, I thank you that you are, as we're yoking with you, as we're coming to you, Lord, you're taking us in your direction. We're walking as you walked. We're being led by your Spirit. Luna started off with this verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9, and says that the Lord looks to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. I just felt like before we close, or as we come to this close here of this time, there's a scripture in Psalm 139, right at the end. Psalm 139 is such a beautiful psalm of just about how the Lord's prepared us and prepared our lives before we were born. They wrote a book about us and has all these thoughts about us and has designed us intimately and intricately. But then there's this part at the end. It almost feels like it's maybe like should be another chapter, but I just see the beauty of in everything God created. David sees it, and then he says this, "So Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts." And then he says, "And see if there is any offensive way in me. Find the areas in my heart that are offensive. Find those areas in my heart that misalign with you so that there can be a complete and full alignment." So Lord, I just felt like we just pause for just take 15, 20 seconds here. Take a minute, I don't know. But just that we do this very thing. There's, as we've been in the time of prayer and fasting with the pastors on these calls at noon, that one of the key things that kind of the themes that I'm seeing is this position of the heart. It just keeps coming back up. And so, Lord, we just say, search our heart tonight. Lord, is there anything offensive in it? You're looking for those who have a wholehearted devotion to you. And you say this in Psalm 24. Kathy was speaking to it earlier. That who may ascend the hill and who can stand in the presence of God? Who can stand in this holy place? It says those who have clean hands, a pure heart, who don't lift their soul or up to an idol or swear by what is false. Lord, I thank you that you're cleansing our hearts. There's a purification process that is happening with the bride so that we will be able to walk in righteousness. We're going from the milk to the meat so that we can actually discern good from evil. You're awakening your church to walk in the fullness of the authority that you have designed and created us for. But it requires clean hands. It requires that pure heart. Why? So that we can see you, so that we know you, so that we can walk in your ways. And as we walk in your ways, you set us in this place where we can actually govern from your heavenly courts. There's an authority that comes to take territory, but it comes from the place of the purity of heart. It's the righteous, in though the prayers of the righteous that availeth much. Lord, you're taking us into this place of authority. So, Lord, I just thank you right now. It begins with this position of the heart. It begins with the yoking with you, the coming to you, to saying, Jesus, we can't purify our own heart. You're the one that does it. But what we do is we just say, Lord, we open our hearts to you. Say, have your way. Reveal the areas that are off. We ask you for the circumcision, Lord, of our hearts. Any areas that have been hardened, any area where we have allowed a hardening of our heart, Lord, we say circumcise it. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Use your word to cut those areas, to cut off the hardness of our heart. I love how the Lord actually commanded Joshua. He said, you're going to need to meditate on my word day and night. If you're going to take territory, if you're going to be bold and courageous, if you're going to cross over the Jordan into the promised land and take territory, it's going to require you to be in my word day and night. Why? Because your heart has to stay consecrated before me. There has to be a tenderness of your heart constantly. And the word of the Lord will cut those areas of our heart that have been hardened off. And we need it day and night. It's not like, well, we did it once and it's okay now. Lord, I thank you that you're teaching us to remain in you, to abide in you. Your word would cut deep into us. Your rhema word, your spirit, as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you that it's the truth. The truth is your word spoken that cuts deep, and it says it's your truth that sets people free. It cuts off the hardness of heart so that we can be set free to the things that you have for us. God, we're no longer in and of ourselves. So have your way. But I pray that every area of our heart that has been hardened, that you would do a work tonight in us. We hold our hearts before you. We trust you because you're good, you're faithful, you're tender, you're kind, you're gracious, you're patient, there's a long suffering. We thank you for the fruit of your spirit. But do a work in us tonight. Have your way in us tonight. Lord, I pray that tonight, even as we sleep, Lord, you say you show us your love by day, and there's a song over us by night. You begin to sing over us in the night. Lord, let your words ring over us as you declare your goodness to us. Lord, I thank you that it purifies our heart. We want to see you. Open our eyes to see you. Open our ears that we would hear you, know your truths, and walk in your ways. I thank you, Lord, that there's a shift happening in the church, and it begins in the heart. You're doing a work, but we say, complete the work in us. We bless your name, Lord. We bless you. May you be glorified in our lives. May it be your love that is revealed in our lives. that it glorifies the Father and makes him known. May we be the workers for the harvest that is at hand and is plentiful. Just as Scarlett was praying, just that there's opportunities all around us. All we do is we hold out the word of life. We love as you've loved us because our hearts are tender, pure before you, and you move by your Spirit to touch the lives around us. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.